Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. I'm happy to advise that on September 2nd, 2021, my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God was released for sale. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center. And let me wish everyone a very happy new year. And I trust that everyone had a wonderful Christmas enjoying it with the family. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for the privilege, the honor, and the opportunity to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's get together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. We thank you again, Father, for a new year to get it right, the things that we didn't accomplish in the previous year. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and render your powers null and void, and you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and covenant with you, Holy Father, in the name of Jesus the Christ, the anointing one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, please open your Bibles to Hebrews 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6. And we will read our foundational scripture we have been using for our teaching on the meaning and the importance of faith. The meaning and the importance of faith. So if you have found Hebrews 11, 6, please follow along and I will read. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he, God, is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. God is looking for people who will believe him and follow him by faith. Amen. And he's looking for those who are diligently, consistently, that are going to obey the word of God. I began this teaching on faith several months ago, and we are just about finished with our introductory course on faith. I have expressed several times throughout this teaching that in terms of priority, everybody say priority, there is no subject, in my opinion, that is more important for the Christian believer than understanding the meaning and the importance of faith. As we see in our foundational scripture, it tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And impossible simply means by no means necessary. So faith is important. Now, I don't know about you. I can only speak for myself. I want to please my Heavenly Father. Just like I please my Heavenly Father here on earth, well, I want to much more please my Heavenly Father. The only words I want to hear from you, from Him, is "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Amen. Now, our last time together, we were discussing Satan and how he will attempt to attack you mentally. How he will attempt to attack you mentally. I said that we only ask and be in faith one time. But I know exactly what the devil has been saying to some of your minds. Because there are some scriptures in Bible, in the New Testament, that look like they contradict what I have said, or I contradict what they say. In fact, some of you may have one of those translations other than a New King James Bible. Let me clear up the idea of a possible contradiction in the scriptures so that you are not bound up with thinking that what I am saying is unscriptural. It is very scriptural, but you have to understand what you are reading. I said we only have to pray one time in terms of asking or petitioning God for something and be in faith. There are some scriptures that look like what they say is to keep on asking. But you have to understand what those scriptures are saying. Please go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Again, that's 2 Timothy chapter 2. And please go to verse 15. Now, I'm going to be reading this particular verse from the modern English version of the Bible. And it says, "Study to show yourself approved by God, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Amen. Now, let's look at this scripture before we go any further. First of all, who is doing the studying? We are. Who are you going to be approved by? You're going to be approved by God. So you do not want to have to be what? You do not have to be ashamed. Correct. And what are you doing with the word of truth? You are rightly dividing. Amen. So you're going to be the studying. You're going to approve, be approved by God. You're not going to be ashamed. And you're going to rightly divide the word of truth. Amen. I really do not like to say this, but that is what many people, and maybe some of you, do not do. They do not study. I hate to say that, but people do not study. They just read in a cursory way. They pick up a little tidbits here and there, and they think they have revelation of the word. But they do not, because they haven't really studied. And people are very dangerous when they can read a little bit, and then they think they know the totality of what they read. They think they are reading one thing when, in fact, it really means something else entirely. There is a right and a wrong way to ask. You can be ever so sincere about what you're thinking and doing, but you can be sincerely wrong. God is a present tense God. Do you understand that? God is a present tense God. Jesus says that when you pray, you should believe that you receive. When do you receive is the question. When you pray. Why? Because when you pray is now. And that is when God hears. God cannot hear you tomorrow. We have a tomorrow, But God does not have a tomorrow. God only has now. Amen. God wants you to have a living faith now, to get a vital touch from Him, shaking the foundations of all weaknesses. When you were saved the moment you believe. When you be healed, it will be the moment you believe. We have a right to be healed because we are blood bought and blood washed. We are children of the King. Matter of fact, we are kings. We're just the little king, and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ is the big king. We have a covenant, a contract that guarantees healing to us. We have a right to come to the Father. Amen. Now go to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. That's Hebrews chapter 4. I just mentioned that we have a right to come before the Father. So Hebrews 4:16, and it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace." Okay, now what does it say there? It says, "Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So we are to come boldly to our Heavenly Father, not sheepishly and with not any respect, but we come boldly to the throne of God. Amen. Because He's our Father and He loves us. And this is what He wants us to do. But we have to come in line with the program. We have to come in line with the rules, the standards, and the regulations and the laws that govern and control it. And when we do, it will work for us over and over and over again. Amen. It has for myself and Dr. Michelle. There is no maybe. It will work absolutely positively. But you have to work it in line with the word. And let me repeat that. You have to work it in line with the word. So if you keep asking, "Lord, give it to me. Lord, give it to me," the same thing over and over again, it's not going to work. You are not going to nullify your prayer. That's what you're going to do. You're going to nullify your prayer. You only pray one time when it comes to petition prayer. You only pray one time when it comes to petition prayer. Do you understand that? We are not teaching on the subject of prayer, and there are other types of prayer that are available for us. But when it comes to petition prayer or the prayer of faith, if you ask more than once, you are saying by asking again that you did not believe you received it the first time. We know that petition prayer or the prayer of faith involves you asking God for something or asking Him to do something. Is that correct? Okay, let's go to the book of John, chapter 14. The book of John, chapter 14. And we see Jesus the Christ is speaking here. Let's go to verse 13 and 14. And it says, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." So our Heavenly Father is telling us whatever we ask according to His word. He said He will do it. Amen. So if you ask the Father and believe you receive, then you will have it. The formula is very simple. It is simply pray, believe, and we receive. You pray, you believe, and you receive. Amen. It's so simple. There's nothing hard about that. Very simple. Let's look at scripture that is a roadblock for people, and they have used it as a reason for praying over and over for the same thing. So please open your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 18. That's the book of Luke, chapter 18. And we're going to begin with verse number 1 through 8. And it says, "Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart." It says that men should always ought to pray and not lose heart. "Saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God, nor regard or respect man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, 'Get justice or a vengeance for me for my adversary.' And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, 'Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge or vindicate her, lest by her continued coming she worries me.' Then the Lord said, 'Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on this earth?'" Amen. Now, a parable, for those of you who might not know what a parable is, a parable is a spiritual truth or law set in the context of a natural situation. Let me repeat that. A parable is a spiritual truth or law set in the context of a natural situation. In other words, a natural illustration to point out a spiritual truth. Now let's look at this verse again that we were looking at here in Luke 18. Let's go and what it says, chapter 18 and verse number 1. It says, "Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart." It says men always ought to pray. Always ought to pray means that we should never give up prayer as a means of communication with our Father. You know, the scriptures even tells us in Thessalonians, it says pray without ceasing. So we ought to pray. Amen. And then the last part of the verse says not lose heart, which means to get weak or discouraged, or throw up your hands and give it up as a lost cause. And you could be tempted to do that if you pray, say, 500 times and never got answered. Well, you know what? It happened to me. I did that. I prayed over and over and over and over again and never got any of my prayers answered. I just thought God did not want me to have what I was praying for, and I was wasting my time. I did not belong to any organized church at the time, so I did not have any spiritual teaching or training or a father in the faith that could nourish me and teach me and show me and mentor me in the things of God or how to pray. So I was just spinning my wheels and going nowhere fast. So I went for years and never really prayed because I did not know what I was doing. I figured if God wanted me to have it, then he would give it to me. But he won't. That will not work either that way. Now notice in verse 8, there is a question mark after the word earth. And it says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? And I told you there's a question mark after the word earth, which looks like God is asking a question. Well, I submit to you, he is not asking a question. He knows what he will find when he comes back. He is actually making a statement designed to arrest our attention. Let me first ask you a question, and then I will show you what I'm talking about. How many of you know that omnipresence is one of God's attributes attributed to him? That simply means that God is present everywhere the same time. Now let's go back to the book of Genesis and let's look at this situation. Because Genesis, what we find, it talks about Adam and Eve in the garden. So go to Genesis 3. Genesis chapter 3. And it says, and they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called out to Adam and said to him, where are you? With a question mark, just like the question mark we seen in Luke. Amen. Now, how could God ask a question like that if God is omnipresent? God would know where Adam and Eve were. So in reality, it was not a question. It was a statement designed to arrest Adam's attention and to let him know the gravity of the situation that he had put himself in by his act of rebellion and disobedience. Now go back to the Luke 18 and let's look at verse number 1 again. It says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he surely find faith on the earth? He knows exactly what he is going to find. He is saying that because it takes faith to pray. He is talking about prayer. He said that he spoke a parable, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. I will repeat it again. It takes faith to pray. So he said, will he really find faith when he comes back? To arrest our attention to the fact that it takes faith to pray. Amen. So what is the purpose of this story? Well, here is a woman, not even married, but a widow, who comes to a judge who did not fear God or regard man. She comes to this judge and she said what she wanted. Not because the judge feared God, not even because the judge wanted to answer her request, but the judge said, if I do not do something, this lady is going to drive me crazy, consistently coming back and coming back. The easiest way to get rid of her is to answer her request, and she is out of here, and I am free from her. We have a better covenant than what they had. And what the story is showing us is a contrast. Here is a widow who came to a judge who did not fear God or regarded man, and she got exactly what she wanted. Only because of the potential of continuing to come and finally wearing the judge out. So he gave in simply to get rid of her. What Jesus is saying to us is, we are blood-bought, born-again, spirit-filled believers. You have a better covenant established upon better promises. If this woman could get what she wanted, by no means than being the potential of wearing the judge out, then how much more can we expect to get when we want, when we come to the judge of all ages, our Almighty Father, Jesus the Christ? That is the essence of the story. God is not going to answer your request just to get rid of you. In fact, if you do not come correctly in line with the word, he does not hear your prayer anyway. It does not register. It does not compute. It would be a lot easier to know something or see something or understand something when it manifested itself right in front of you. Don't you agree? Well, you know what? I am just about out of time for our first teaching for the new year. But let me invite you to our Sunday services. We have services by teleconferencing. You may simply call our toll-free number at 605-303-4834. The access code is 997-020-pound. Our services start at 2 p.m. sharp. Until then, please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you. Shalom.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.